Last week we began a mini-series of sermons. We focused on the person last week and the character of Joseph. How many of us could withstand that type of pressure being brought to bear on your life because God put you in a situation that required that? In the end, we discovered that Joseph was just a normal guy, faithful to God, trusted God, and then God used him in a tremendous way. One that would change history. Now, I have a couple of folks here I've talked to that we're going to hear from them closer to the end because we're talking about what God's able to do. Today we're going to look at Mary, the mother of Jesus. Before we begin that, let me ask you a question. How many of you think you're in control of your life? How many of you would like to be in control of your life? Gil shared a quote with me a couple weeks ago. He said, "Control is an illusion. There is only one who is in control." Now, for those of you who know me, you know I'm a control freak. A little OCD, I like to have everything my way. But the truth is, no matter how much we plan and we prepare and we think it's going great, the reality is we're really not in control. We can do all that we can do, but ultimately God is the one who's in charge. And sometimes being in control, like we want to be, instead of being used by God, how many of us try to use God in your control mode? Well, how often do we pray, "Lord, do this, Lord, do that, Lord, heal this, Lord, fix this, Lord"? You have your laundry list of, "God, can you do this for me?" What you're doing in that point is you are asking God, but sometimes we get to the point where we're maybe telling God. You ever try to say to God, "You know, sorry, Lord, I want to do that for you, but I just can't right now"? You ever feel like you've said that to God? Mary was a person who was willing to relinquish any and all control she had on her life from that moment forward because she was being open to whatever God had for her. Now, before we go any further in the study of Mary, we, as Christians, we probably know that there's two sides to, you know, there's two different schools of thought on Mary. The first school of thought is to kind of overemphasize her and give her more of a standing than she deserves. Some folks pray to her, some folks worship her. That's one aspect of it. The other aspect of it is we give her no credit and no consideration. And because of what we kind of do as Christians, especially as Protestant Christians, in order to counteract the worship of Mary, we kind of relegate her to nothing. We don't want to be accused of that. And just like anything in Christianity, there's always a balance to that. We do not pray. We do not worship. There's a couple of things that we don't believe. She was not herself born from a virgin. She did not remain a perpetual virgin, as some teaches. However, Mary was a very godly young lady. And because she was so young, she was not yet wise to the ways of the world. You know, it's kind of like that simple faith that Jesus talks about of a child. Most people think their age range for her is between 12 and 18 is what most people think she was. That was her age at that time. Some folks have said it's used 16 as an average. Well, we don't really know, but we know that she's within that range. When Jesus says, "Let little kids come to me," and we need to have faith like theirs, children have a simple trust that they have. My dad, my mom can do anything. And we know that's not true. But for the moment, we take it, right? We let them think that we can do anything because we know there's coming a day where they're going to think that we can't do anything. So Mary was in the younger stage. She just simply had that simple faith that whatever God said, she was going to believe and trust. As we study the life of Mary, and we're going to do that, you're going to find out that God required a lot of her, as God requires a lot from us. Matthew's gospel shares the account of Joseph. Luke's gospel shares the account more of Mary. Luke 1:26 says, in the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. Now, what do we know about Mary? Well, we know she was a teenager. She was a virgin, but she was engaged, which means she was formally, basically, they were married without the benefits of marriage. In the Jewish culture at that time, to be engaged was considered to be married. It was a legal agreement, and they were called husband and wife during that time. And it could only be, the engagement could only be dissolved by divorce. And any adultery during that time would be punishable by death. We talked about that last week with Joseph. The engagement would last anywhere from 6 months to a year. They did not live together. They lived with their parents. The parents arranged everything. They did not have any relations during that time. We also know that Mary was also very poor. Her family was very poor. Luke 22 says this, if we skip ahead to chapter 2. It says, when the time of their purification according to the law of Moses had been completed, Joseph and Mary took him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As was written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male is to be consecrated to the Lord and to offer a sacrifice in keeping with what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of doves or two young pigeons. Now, if you remember the Old Testament law, they were to bring a lamb for this offering. But if they could not afford it and they were destitute, they were allowed to bring one of these birds. I looked this up a little bit, and to use current monetary standards, a lamb at that time would cost like $1.75. The dove or a pigeon would be 16 cents. Your age, your position in life, your bank account is no indicator of what God can use you to do. You do not have to be a somebody for God to do great things in your life. Now, I think this sometimes, and I'm sure maybe some of you do, wouldn't it be great if some famous person got saved and was able to use that platform to share the gospel? The truth is, God uses normal people, people that have no notoriety, people that others would maybe consider nobodies, people that don't have a lot, people that are just normal, everyday, garden variety Christians who live out their godly lives every day. You don't have to be somebody. You simply have to be sold out to God. And the question we have to ask ourselves every day is, are we? Now it goes on in verse 28, it says, the angel went to her and said, greetings, you who are highly favored, the Lord is with you. Now that phrase, highly favored or found favor, depending on which version you have, it's very seldom used in the Bible. The other time that it's used demonstratively is with Noah. In Genesis 6:8, it says, but Noah, what, found favor in the eyes of the Lord. This is the account of Noah. Noah was a righteous man, blameless among the people of his time, and walked with God. So if the angel said that about Noah, we can assume from that same wordage that God said the same thing about Mary. She was righteous, she was blameless, and she walked with God. Now, the point is, Mary was an ordinary teenager, ordinary teen, who lived her life simply trusting God. She loved him. She lived her life in accordance with all the Old Testament law. She did everything that she was supposed to do without drawing any attention to herself. And her humble and godly life pleased God so much that he picked her to do this. That sounds pretty awesome, doesn't it? Wouldn't you want to be used by God in that manner? I'm not saying ladies today. But think about what she was about to go through. It sounds great. Mary was honored. Think about what she's going to go through. She's a young girl. She's engaged. She's planning her wedding. Ladies, is that a big deal? Big deal. They had 6 months to a year to arrange everything, to get everything in line. She was excited. You ever watch this show? Not that I watch it, but it's on in my house. Say Yes to the Dress. All the women are shaking their heads yes. All the guys are going, what? It's a show about women buying bridal gowns. But it gets a lot of excitement in my house as well as the people that are on there. Why? Because it's a big deal. And I'm sure it's no different in Mary's time. It was a big deal. She was excited about what was going to happen. And all of a sudden, right smack dab in the middle of that, the angel comes and tells her, oh, by the way, you're going to be pregnant. Verse 29, Mary was greatly troubled at his words, I'm guessing, and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her again, do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end. So in a matter of a few moments, all the excitement and anticipation and all the stuff that was going on leading up to the wedding ended at that moment. All the anticipation, all the planning, shattered, gone. Being a normal teenager, loving God, serving him to the best of her ability, and all of a sudden this comes in her life, something that was not expected, not planned for, and would surely cause a multitude of consequences in the future for her. How many of you are comic book movie fans? There was a scene in one of the Avengers movies. I know you all were into that, right? And one quote that came to my mind when I was putting this together was talking about these guys with these powers. They referred to it as a terrible blessing or a terrible privilege. For her, it was going to be a lot of pain and anguish in her life, but it was a privilege to be a part of what God was doing. And God may ask any of us to be a part of something that is so incredibly fantastic, so miraculous, that it's going to come to us at a great cost. All her plans, all her future plans, her control of her life now took a back seat to what God was doing. Going back to my original question, how many of you think you're in control? How many want to be in control? At a moment's notice, God can change that right now. Change the direction of your life. And the control you thought you had, the plans you were making for your future, could stop just like that. Through no action on your part, all of a sudden your life takes a hard right turn. You didn't know it then, but what you experienced and what you thought may have been terrible at that moment turned out later to be a blessing. You didn't realize it, you didn't plan for it, but God was able to turn that around, and as you look back, and we all have 20/20 hindsight, you can see where God was directing you the whole way. Maybe you haven't seen that hard right turn yet. Maybe you won't see it for a while. But if you really want to be a servant of God, and we all say that we do, it could happen at any moment. That hard right turn for us could happen today. Keith mentioned it. No one's guaranteed of tomorrow. No one's guaranteed of next week. That hard right turn could be you passing away, one of your family members passing away. Now Mary was about to toss aside everything she had planned for. She'd get married, but it wouldn't be what she thought. She'd have the big marriage feast, but it wouldn't be what she planned for. She would have kids, but because of Jesus coming first, all of her life would be shrouded in suspicion and doubt. Like all of us, she had questions on how God can do something so wonderful given the current situations. Now, her question in verse 34 is not a question of doubt. She says, "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." It wasn't a question out of doubting what God was going to do. It was more of a question of, "I trust you, but I'm looking at the circumstances. How are you going to do this?" Sometimes we as Christians try to analyze and figure out how God is going to work. You ever do that? You look at the situation and you try to figure out how God is going to do it. Given all of your immense knowledge, you look at this and you try to figure out how God can do this. Well, I know God can. If he makes this happen, and if he makes this happen, and if he does this over here, then it's going to work. Well, Mary was saying basically, "It's impossible, God. How are you going to do this?" How many of you asked the question, "How can God save my loved one? It's impossible. How can God heal me when the doctors all said no? How can God restore relationships in my life when no one's talking to me? How can I be pregnant when I'm a virgin?" All these are legitimate questions. We all ask them every day. How can God do something that seems impossible in the natural? Now, the question is a legitimate one, and the angel does not rebuke her for it. Now, notice, if you remember Zechariah, when he questioned God, what did God do? Sealed his lips, right? Couldn't talk. Mary asked the question. He did not rebuke her. Why? Because he knew it was not a question of doubt. It was a question of seemingly being impossible. God, how are you going to do this? I know you're going to do it. How are you going to do it? She doesn't not believe the angel. She's simply asking how. So basically, she's telling him, "I'm up for this. Okay. How are you going to pull this off?" That's faith. That is believing for the impossible, even when the evidence isn't there. Luke 1:35, the angel gave her an answer. Don't you wish God would answer you every time you asked him, "How are you going to do this?" The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age. And she who was said to be barren is in her sixth month. For nothing is impossible with God." How was God going to do this? God was going to do it through direct intervention. He wasn't going to use people. He wasn't going to use situations. He was going to do the work. When we ask these hard questions, and we're trusting God, and we're asking him how, sometimes those questions are answered only by a direct intervention from God. You're praying for someone who needs to be saved, or they're not saved, and you look at them and you say, "There, no way." That is going to be a direct intervention from God, that God has to get in there and change their heart. For a healing, God has to be the direct intervener to do it. Such a word as intervener. And not only that, the angel says, "To show you that God can do this, your cousin is pregnant." Miracle. She was barren, beyond childbearing years, pregnant. Now, she wasn't a virgin, but God did a miracle in her life and told Mary, "To show you that I have the power to do this, look over here. Look at your cousin. For us to believe the impossible, we need to remember all the impossibles that God has done in the past. What has God done in your life or in your neighbor's life or in your family's life that is a miracle? If you think back, we all have them. If you're saved, it's a miracle. God broke through your thick skull and saved you. He touched your heart. He saved you. God healed. Did God deliver you from something? What did God do for you in the past? We all have them. The angel said to Mary, here's an example of my power. Look at that as a sign that I can do it again. For all of us who have those situations in our life, look at those situations that God has already worked in. If he did it then, what's the Bible say? He doesn't change. He can do it today. What does the angel say at the end of that sentence or that paragraph? Nothing is impossible with God. If God can cause a virgin to have a baby, do you think God can help you in your life? Do you think God can change situations in your life? What prayers or concerns do you have right now that's just weighing on you that you really see no end in sight? Nothing is impossible with God. Now, here's what I'm going to interject and ask these two folks to share. But I'm going to have them use a mic because we're going to tape it. Okay? So let me grab this mic over here. I talked to Brooke yesterday. Come on up here, Brooke. We're going to see situations that were seemingly impossible that God intervened on.
Can you hear me now? Okay. I'm a little nervous here, so forgive me. I asked the Lord to help me with that, so I think I'll be okay. A couple years ago, probably about 6, maybe 7 years ago, I was a single mom with 3 kids. And it was very difficult for me, you know, like to provide for them and what they needed. So I was at the laundromat the one time, and the kids were at school. And on the radio, it was talking about, like, people getting stuff for Christmas, you know. Like, the one DJ's like, do you want a Christmas miracle? And I'm sitting there like, yeah, I could use a Christmas miracle. And then I just prayed to God, and I cried out to God. And I was like, I'm just going to let this up to you, you know. Well, then maybe about a day or two later, Faith's teacher called me and said, hey, Brooke, is there anything that you need or something that we could do for you? We have a couple here that is willing to help out, get you guys stuff for Christmas, kids' Christmas gifts, whatever you need. And I was just like, what? You know, and I was like, yeah, sure, you know. And I was just like in shock, you know, and I was thanking God profusely, you know. And one day, these people from the church that this couple, you know, went to church to came over with a Christmas tree, lights. I was like, oh, my goodness, I wasn't expecting a tree, but we really would like to have a tree. It was a real Christmas tree. And a couple days later, they came up. They filled my tank up with oil. I had oil in my house. I had heat. It was great, you know. And the Lord also, you know, these people, the Lord's just good. I just have so much to say. So, well, God, you know, he answered my prayer. And I had oil. They fixed my car. I needed an inspection. I was like, well, how am I supposed to do all this? They got my car inspected. Everything that needed done with the car, it was fixed. And they provided my kids with clothing, you know, toys, so much that it probably could last for like 3 Christmases, you know. But I held on to some of that to give them for the years to come. And I was like, Lord, I thank you so much for what you've done. It's just amazing, you know. He answered the prayer that quick. And it could happen to anybody, you know. Whatever you need, just pray and ask God, and he will answer your prayer. And he's still working in my life to help others. And I ask the Lord to help with the resources. He's doing it. We don't have much, but he's doing it. So I'm just saying to you guys, if you see somebody that needs prayer or someone that needs talk to, you don't have to give them money. Even if you want to, go ahead, give them money, but they need your time. Just pray with them and pray for them and let them know about the Lord Jesus Christ, because like Pastor said, that is the greatest gift you could ever receive. So I thought I'd share this with you all, you know, just letting you know. You know, I love you guys, God loves you, and that's all I got to say.
Mr. C.
God is good. Don't know how many of you know my story, but 7.5 years ago, I was unemployed. I happened to go to a job fair and became aware of jobs through the state of Pennsylvania. Long story short, I got hired by the state. After a lot of prayer. If you've been watching the news lately, there are between 500 and 600 employees in the Department of Labor and Industry, which is where I work in Harrisburg. Between 500 and 600 employees throughout the state of Pennsylvania are getting laid off. It turns out that the House passed additional funding for the Department of Labor and Industry, but the Senate did not. Instead, they voted themselves a 3% raise and went home for a month and a half on a Thanksgiving Christmas vacation. We were told on the Friday before Thanksgiving that our jobs would end on December 19th. We were all called into a big conference room, and the Secretary of Labor and Industry, that's the lady in charge of our 17-floor building, started to cry, told us how awful she felt. She, by the way, still has her job. Turned around and put all the blame on the politicians. The Democrats are blaming the Republicans. The Republicans are blaming the Democrats. I went to that meeting on a Friday, the Friday before before Thanksgiving. Everyone received a packet when they went into the room telling them that they were furloughed and they had bumping rights through the union, or they were furloughed without bumping rights. I did not receive a packet. As it turns out, in that packet, they were recommending that certain papers be signed and turned back in by Monday, the following Monday, after the weekend at 9 o'clock in the morning. Well, as the day progressed, it got to be about 2 o'clock in the afternoon. I still don't have a packet. And I finally marched down to 14 and went into the HR office and said, I'm not leaving here without a packet. I don't understand why everybody in the room gets a packet. I don't have a packet. Well, Mark, the reason is because your job is not in danger. But, well, wait a minute, there's more. My job was not in danger on Friday. Monday they called us in, and no, Tuesday, the governor came in. By the way, I was within about 10 feet of him. I was within choking distance, but I restrained myself. A course, his story was that he was, you know, it was the Republicans anyway. At that time, I was told that I lost my job. Just as the people the previous Friday, my last day was scheduled to be December 19th. 7.5 years ago, God opened the door. And nobody's going to close it but God. He is my doorkeeper. Diane and I trusted him. We prayed. And last week, I was called down to HR. So I go down to the 14th floor again. And I went in. And I was told that an opening had come up. And because of that opening, the person that bumped me out of my job could go back to their job. And I could therefore go back to my job. This time it is the end of the story. God is my doorkeeper, and we prayed. And we believed nobody is going to shut that door but the Lord. So here I am, all I want is another 3 years or so to make it to 66 so I can retire. Praise be to God. He's good, always.
Nothing is impossible with God. It may not happen that fast. It may be harder, but nothing is impossible for God. The next verse that is written in the Luke's gospel is probably one of the greatest statements of faith in the Bible. Verse 38 says, "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May it be to me as you have said." In a moment, she was okay with putting aside all of her plans, all of her excitement, basically her future, and trusted what God was going to do. She had no idea what it was going to be, but she trusted him to take her through it. What was her future going to be like? We don't know. What would Joseph do? She didn't know. Would he divorce her? If so, how would she get along? Would she be stoned? Nobody's going to believe me. Her reputation, she knew, would be gone. People would talk. Gossip would start. She would be that woman in town. Knowing all this, she submitted herself to God's perfect plan. One author I read says there's two words that always go together: Christmas and miracles. Why? Because nothing is impossible with God. Worship team, if you want to come on back up. What crisis are you facing today? What hardship is either present, past, or is coming? What family members do you have that are estranged from you? How many of your loved ones don't know Jesus? All of these are impossible to solve by human means without God's direct intervention. God specializes in doing things that are impossible with man. What's the Bible say? With man, with God, nothing is impossible, but with man, who knows? That's the Bender paraphrase. God specializes in doing things that are impossible. He demonstrated that on Christmas. And he did it to offer people hope. I was in the van this morning picking up some folks, and the preacher on the radio was talking about hope. Sometimes you lose hope when you look at situations and you look at them through the natural eye. But God says with him, since nothing is impossible, we always have hope. Is that right? We're going to sing, or I'm not going to sing, but they're going to sing, "How Great Is Our God." Think about that. And whatever you are trusting God to do, the impossible, think about how great God is. Would you stand this morning?
How great is our God?
Mary was willing to put her life aside in order to accomplish God's perfect will. She experienced a miracle in her life, something that no one can explain. But that happened because she trusted him with what the future would hold. When we pray and we trust God for a miracle, we have to be prepared for what God is going to do in order to make that miracle happen. And if we are sold out, and if we really trust God like we say that we do, then we are fine with what God wants to do in order to perform the miracle we're asking him to perform. And we are. As Keith mentioned earlier, and some of you responded to that call to commit and trust Christ like we've been talking. Maybe some of you were on the fence at that moment. You weren't really sure what he was talking about. Some of you really knew right off the bat that God was speaking to you. But maybe some of you weren't. I'm going to give you another opportunity to trust Christ for the miracle of salvation in your life. If that's you, and you weren't sure before, but now you are, I want you to raise your hand right now. How many of you are praying and trusting God for something that is miraculous that needs to happen in your life? We probably are, all are at some point. The question you have to ask yourself is, am I willing to accept what God is challenging me to do in order to fulfill this miracle, in order to fulfill his purpose and his plan? Mary was willing to give it all up at a moment's notice because she trusted God. After we're done praying, we're going to pray in a moment for God to do these miracles. For those of you who raised your hand earlier, do not forget to come down and talk with us so we can encourage you in what happens next as a believer. Father, we thank you this morning. As we focus on the holiday, the celebration of Christmas, and we focus around all the things that are the externals, the tree and the gifts and all that things, and it's awesome. We're so thankful that we're able to do that. But Father, more than that, we're focusing on the miracles that you perform in our individual lives. Not only during this time of the year, but at every moment of every day. I pray for each person here this morning that they are trusting you for something that is physically and humanly impossible to happen in their lives. Whether it's a healing, a family restoration, a financial blessing or miracle, or someone that they know or we know who needs Jesus before it's too late. Father, you're the only one that's able to do any and all of these. And we pray that you would do your miracle in these lives. Do the impossible, Lord. Allow us to see a tangible result of God doing the impossible in our midst, of bringing people to faith, of restoring relationships, of providing in a miraculous way. You are the God of miracles, Lord. Father, we love you this morning. I pray your blessings upon each person here. Allow us to really trust you. Trust you for what your plan is for our lives. And Father, we will accept them. And we will go one day at a time trusting that you are in control. Father, you're sovereign. You do what you want to do, when you want to do it, how you want to do it. You are sovereign. And I just pray your blessings upon each person here. Allow us to experience that sovereignty in the form of miraculous things happening for your glory, for your glory, so that God is honored, that Jesus is glorified. Thank you for your gift of Jesus that allows us to be here today. Bless us, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Have a tremendous faith-filled week. Trust God. Let me know what you're trusting God for and when God comes through and does something miraculous in your life.